Our scripture this morning comes from the New Testament Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. A familiar parable, I believe. But listen to it and see if you hear a new word for today. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. May God bless our hearing and understanding of this holy scripture. Joanne. Yes, it sounds very negative, doesn't it? And that's one of our questions for today. Why does Jesus make that sound so negative? Any other thoughts? Sherry. Don't be mad at people because their sins are different than yours. That's one of my favorites as well. Yeah. Yes, Melanie. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. All who humble themselves will be exalted. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. A father was speaking to his lazy son and said, "I am ashamed of your laziness. Do you know that Barack Obama walked 5 miles each day to go to school when he was about your age?" The son replied, "Yes, and he was president of the United States when he was around your age." Now, you may have heard something like that before, but it points out a truth in life. It is probable that all of us, even the President of the United States, still have room to grow in this life. We all still have room to grow if we are willing to grow. Now, I invite you, if you would, to join me in an exercise, and if you can find your bulletin, and I believe it's the, what color? The sermon notes, the darker blue. There is a place on the back side of it. Nope, it's on the front side of it. The dark blue one, things you know for sure, and things you wonder about. No, we'll just let you write them down today. But I'll give you a moment to do that. But while you're starting to write down some ideas, I was thinking I might be able to help you with some ideas by looking at our scripture today. You see, the Pharisee would have a long list of things he knows for sure. He is religious. Righteous, in fact. He's not a bad person. He fasts and tithes his income. He knows that there is a God. He knows there's evil in the world. He knows that God cares about good behavior and bad behavior. If he wonders at all, this Pharisee, he wonders about the bad people. Why do people steal, commit adultery, work for the occupying army of Rome? But more than he wonders, he knows for sure that he is righteous. He has worked hard at developing righteous and even sacrificial practices in his life. Now, we don't know that much about the tax collector, except that his very profession put him at odds with the religious establishment. But even he seems to know for sure that there is a God, a merciful God. What he doesn't know, what he wonders, is if God can ever forgive him. He wonders if his merciful God can love even a sinner. And he knows that he is desperate. Now, hopefully you found some things to put on your list, what you know for sure, and what you wonder about, because it is important to know about God, about love, about right behavior, and right relationship. It is important to know for sure that some things exist, and it is important to be able to share some of these things with others, particularly the people that we love. When we know God's love, especially as it was shown by Jesus, we feel an obligation to share that good news with others. We just have to share what we know for sure. We just have to love people. We know that. But we should also share our sense of wonder, especially about God and Jesus. For instance, don't you wonder sometimes why Jesus seemed to come down so hard on this Pharisee in today's scripture? Because we know that right behavior is important. We are all called to act in responsible, caring, loving ways, to be good stewards of God's creation. Right behavior matters, doesn't it? Is that on your I know for sure list? Right behavior matters? Well, that Pharisee was the model of right behavior. He lived out his faith in God. He prayed. He fasted twice a week. He tithed a tenth of his income. He was an insider in the temple courts, unlike that tax collector. By any measure, between this Pharisee and that tax collector, the Pharisee was the righteous one. He was a model citizen. You could build a solid temple or a church with a few people like him. If he was your neighbor, you wouldn't have to worry about your home valuation declining. So why did Jesus seem so harsh in his critique of this man? I wonder. Jesus was obviously comparing the two men. So how could he say of that tax collector, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other? Now, especially during the season of Lent, which we just completed, we should relate with that tax collector in recognizing our own sinfulness. Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner. But not so with the Pharisee, who is so full of himself, his pride in being better, more righteous than others, his sure knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. He is so full of righteousness that he has no room to wonder. and no room to grow. Does he really need God? When we are honest with ourselves, we know that we could and should do better in living a righteous life. But we're glad that God forgives us when we fall short and when we repent. At least we have room to grow, unlike some others. We know that we go home forgiven, unlike those who act like that Pharisee, those who wear their righteousness like a crown and don't even recognize their need for forgiveness. Well, congratulations. In our humility, we have just judged ourselves as righteous before God in comparison with all those Pharisees and others that we won't mention. In our comparison with others, we find our own righteousness, we think. Congratulations. So we too can go home righteous just like that Pharisee. Because you see, the Pharisee came to the temple already righteous. He stood before God confident in his righteousness, and he went home righteous. Jesus never said anything contrary to this. But Jesus did say, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." The Pharisee exalted himself in his righteousness compared to that tax collector, and he remained righteous even before God in his own thinking. When we compare ourselves as righteous before God in comparison with that Pharisee, as equal or better than any self-righteous religious person, we too fill ourselves with self-righteousness, with sure answers about right and wrong, just like the Pharisee. And just like that Pharisee, filled with righteousness, then we have no room to grow. Do we have room for God? Poll question, how many believe you do have room to grow still? How high can I raise my hand? You see, the trick to this story, righteousness is really not the point of this story. Because righteousness is good and healthy and wonderful when it is found in right relationship with God, not when it is only used to compare with others, when it's used to judge who is an insider and who is an outsider, who has it all together and who still has room to grow. Right behavior, right beliefs, right practices, prayer, fasting, tithing, service to others, compassion, stewardship, worship, Bible study, all these things are good when they are found in right relationship with God. Not when used in comparison to anyone else. See, the tax collector wasn't watching the Pharisee or anyone else, because he couldn't. He was an outsider who had sunk so low that he was desperate. Beating one's chest in the Middle East was a sign of great distress, of desperation, of powerlessness. Recognizing one's inability to correct the situation, wondering where to turn. But you know what? Desperation makes room to grow. Yeah. Knowing you've messed it all up, that you can't fix the situation or your life, opens the door for God to take over. Desperation is the humility that we all should have when we bring our sinful, sometimes addictive, self-serving, self-righteous lives before God. When we come before God openly and honestly, humbly, that is just us and God. No comparisons, just relationship and love. Right relationship, loving relationship. You see, when Jesus said that the tax collector went down to his home justified, he was talking about just this. Right relationship with God. See, that's the difference between righteousness, quote, and justification. That was the word Jesus used. Justification. Righteousness depends on your own best efforts, and they are important. But you can never do enough on your own. Not without God. Justification depends only on God. God's mercy and forgiveness, God's acceptance and unconditional love, best demonstrated by Jesus. Justification is that right relationship, open and honest and humble relationship with God alone, though it's much easier to find within a loving, supportive community of faith. When we let our loving, forgiving God come in and take over our desperate lives, our desperate churches, then we have good reason to become righteous or to continue to live righteous lives because of our gratitude to God for all God gives us. Because we know how much we depend on God even to live righteous lives, but especially to live justified and forgiven lives. In justified relationship with God, no matter how righteous we become, no matter what we do for or give to God, we always have room to grow. Because we always have room for God. So our question, I think, right at the heart of this, to take home and think about, how do we show our gratitude to God? Will you pray with me? Blessed eternal God, who gives life even to the most desperate and darkest places in this world, who gives hope, who sends the spirit of peace through your son Jesus, even through locked doors and locked hearts and locked minds. Oh God, come into our lives. Help us to grow in our relationship with you and then with our relationship with each other and with those around us. And with all of your good creation, let us share your love to all we meet. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.